Welcome to the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast, where we talk strength training, science, and all things performance for cyclists and triathletes, helping you be a stronger, more savvy athlete now and for many years to come. Here's your host, Menachem Brody.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode 147 of the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast. This week's going to be a little bit of a shorter one, as most of the U.S. Folks are recovering from their turkey hangover, if you will, from Thanksgiving here over the weekend. And this week we're going to talk about it takes time. And this touches on one of the points that we had last week in episode 146 with Chris Hendy from Strength for Endurance. And a few of you actually reached out via email to say, or Instagram Messenger, to say how appreciative you were or happy you were to be introduced to Chris and his stuff. And you're now in his ecosystem, which I'm very happy to hear. That is an absolute stellar podcast where he has a lot of experience actually working with endurance athletes. And to me, it was very clear, even before we hit record on the microphone, I've been aware of him for a number of years and keeping an eye on his stuff and seeing what he's doing. And as you've heard here, the last couple of episodes, I'm really sharing other high quality strength coaches for cyclists, triathletes, and runners. And the reason I'm doing this is because the whole point of this podcast is to help make you stronger and more savvy than you were before, not to be only in my ecosystem and follow just my stuff. I want you to ask questions. That is how we learn. I also know from being coached myself over the last 20 some odd years that I don't have all the answers. One coach doesn't have all the answers, and there is a lot to be learned from other coaches. I have three or four other coaches, four right now, that I work with regularly on a weekly or twice a week basis to be coached in different areas of my life, including strength and conditioning. And that's how we learn. That's how we improve ourselves. So I want to introduce you to lots of high quality people here with our interviews to help you get the most out of everything you can. Now, this week's episode, we're actually going to talk quite a bit about just one thing that came up a few times in the interview last week with Chris, and that is you cannot rush the adaptations from your training. It takes time, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do. Now, before we jump into today's shorter episode, let's get an update as to everything that's been going on here at HV Training the last week. All right, so as I'm sure you can hear, last week I did my workouts Sunday and Monday, which I'm very glad I did. My first two workouts out of four. Tuesday morning, I woke up not feeling great, and Tuesday evening, my voice was pretty much gone as I developed some laryngitis here. So I'm going to keep today's updates very short, and first, there's going to be an announcement. The announcement is, a number of you had asked last week when I was doing the Black Friday special sale on coaching services, which I've never done before, a number of you asked if there was a program that was a fully personalized program without a lot of coaching, where you just wanted to email me questions, not video feedback, but wanted to email me questions about the program, or if you're doing things, lining things up right, or how to adjust things, or how to change it based off of your riding stuff. So I didn't have anything before, but I do now. So a number of you asked, a number of you are podcast listeners here. So here's what we're going to do. The normal price for this will be $149 per 4 weeks. However, because some of you asked for it, between now and December 9th, so Friday, December 9th at midnight, if you click the link in the show note description, you can go right to PayPal, sign up, I'll get your email address. You will lock in a 20% discount of $119 per 4 weeks forever. So 10 years from now, the program costs $350. You're still paying $119 per 4 weeks until you cancel. So once you cancel, then whatever the price would be at that time. So if you're interested in a fully personalized strength training program, make sure you click the link below. After the 9th at midnight Eastern Standard Time, that discount goes away and there will be no exceptions. Other updates for this week, just pretty much been a week of managing my energy, making sure that I am getting the things that need to be done. I had two really great sessions with a national track program that I work with. It was actually a really fun challenge on Thursday to coach having next to no voice. in a very large weight room, a large open space. So the weight room is set up in the middle of the velodrome, so there is no reverb at all. And I take advantage of the fact that I have a very powerful voice, usually on a weekly basis. And what that meant is I got a chance to test the rapport that I built with each of the riders, as well as their understanding of the different exercises that we've been doing. And I've got to tell you, I'm working with some really awesome riders. Even the new guys and gals who had just started about 2 weeks ago did a really great job. It's a lot of fun to see that. It is really rewarding to see when the tests come that the coaching on a one-on-one or the one-on-one rapport and reputation and relationship that you've built in a team setting is working and working well. So a lot of fun to do that. On the other side of things, you'll notice that the newsletter did not go out this week. So if you haven't signed up already for the HV Training newsletter, make sure you head on over to humanvortextraining.com and do so. The newsletter will go out today, probably shortly thereafter this episode. So if you are interested in the HV Training newsletter, weekly updates, different tips, different thoughts that I have that come up throughout the training week, make sure you are signing up at the HV Training website. I'm going to stop there. Let's jump over to today's episode. It takes time, and how there is absolutely nothing that you or I can do to pass time quicker to get the adaptations that we need in order to move better, feel better, and produce more strength and power, either in the weight room or on the bike. All right, so the adaptations we're talking about are on a number of levels. Number one are going to be the tissues, the muscles, which tend to adapt. Some of the fastest, actually, is the tissue adaptations. The other is going to be the bone. That tends to take quite a bit more time. And then we have the energy systems and the mitochondria. And that also has a lag time as well. And each of these is going to improve or adapt at its own set pace, but that is all driven by your sleep status, your energy status, as well as a number of other factors, including life stress. Now, we're not going to go into the deep physiology here. That's not the point of this week's episode. What we are going to do is we're going to talk about what you should be paying attention to as you go through your training program. So Chris and I spoke about it. It happened to be that I was talking with one of my pro mountain bikers. It's his second year on the Pro Tour coming up. So he's got a lot to learn and he's already learned a lot. Absolutely fantastic athlete. We actually had him in for testing here this morning as of the recording of this. And even the person who does the test said, wow, that is such a pleasure to do that testing because we looked at a number of different things. But he said the numbers that I'm getting back out of here is, even though he's beginning his base period, his overall fitness level is just so high right now. It's such a pleasure to put him through these. So this is something that I think a lot of us miss when it comes into base period. And this is part of the conversation and the reason why we're having this is I want this athlete to hear. And there's a couple other individuals that I've spoken to as well. So two who have begun the Stronger After 50 program that are now getting into step number two, which is essentially hypertrophy. So they're getting into that. And there's a few other athletes that I work with who are recreational riders and ride with a serious team here locally and regionally. And these are conversations that we need to have, and I want to share this with you guys today. So apologize for not being as scripted as usual, but this is kind of some thoughts, and that's why it's a shorter podcast as well, because it's more thought-provoking and helping you get a better understanding. Now, there's a couple different things we have to address here. Now, the first one is going to be that when we get onto our bikes, or swimming or running, and we're looking for our energy systems to adapt, these types of transitions and changes tend to happen fairly quickly. And what I mean by fairly quickly is anywhere between 7 and 14 days. We tend to see the tissues and the energy system for those specific demands, especially cycling and swimming where it's not high impact, they tend to recover and adapt as long as you're getting good, consistent, high-quality sleep. Notice I didn't mention time, but high quality, because you can get away with less sleep as long as the quality is there and the nutrition is there. Now, these are the two things that we're becoming more aware of. So there's a really great book called Why Sleep Matters, or Why We Sleep, excuse me, which goes into the sleep effects and why it's so important and how consistency and quality are more important than quantity. So we've all heard you need to get 8 hours a night. Well, that really depends. I actually talked with a couple of the track athletes I work with here for our strength session on Monday. And I said, who's getting, you know, good, high quality, consistent sleep? And one of them raised their hands and everybody else didn't. And you could see on their faces, they were absolutely knackered. I mean, they're really, you could see one of them had a running race the day before, so that's understandable, but a few of the others didn't. They hadn't really done anything beyond their regular base training. And, you know, one of them said, oh, well, I'm just going to make it up on the weekend. I'm like, well, you can't do that, actually. You can and you can't. You're young enough, you can get away with it a little bit, but if you're really looking to build towards peak performance, it's going to take time and consistency in your sleep patterns in order to get you there. And what we mean by time and consistency, you know, the most important thing I would say is bedtime, because it's getting your internal clock to begin to shut down the systems in the body, which is going to change your hormonal response and allow you to see progress and a positive change in how your body is able to adapt to the life stress and the training stress you're placing on it. But it takes time. It takes us anywhere between 5 and 10 days to begin to see some results of regular sleep, and much longer than that to actually keep things balanced. Now, the body can deal with a variation here or there. So we get one night where we're kind of off track, maybe two in a week and a half period, but anything beyond that is gonna really throw you for a loop in that it's hard for the body to kind of adapt. Once we start having this skewing of the time you're going to sleep or the timing of your meals or things of that nature, the body goes, whoa, 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 something's off here. And you may start noticing this. You know, for me myself, I drink way too much caffeine. I think there's a lot of cyclists and endurance athletes out there. But I notice when I do my yearly taper and go off of coffee for 10 to 14 days in the fall, I know when the cravings are going to come. It's very timely. I also know because of the taper that I started doing a couple of years ago that I completely understand how dependent I've become on caffeine for high stress periods, whether it's training stress or life stress, doesn't matter. And I understand the cadences that my body is craving it. And that's my first early flag is like, wow, you have had an extra coffee today at this time of day. Yeah, we might need to dial it down just a little bit. Now, I digress. Let's get back on to track here for the sleep. Now, the reason the time of going to sleep, not the total hours, is important is because that's going to essentially be the driver for the hormonal status in the body to change. So when we sleep, we see the body is clearing a lot of the junk that creates, or the byproducts that create, this sleep pressure. And that's what happens the end of the day. I mean, there's only a certain amount of time that you can stay awake before the body is essentially forces you to go to sleep. Like you can't, you're so drowsy and out of it, you just cannot operate. And this is where the special ops are incredibly dialed in to driving human performance at that level, to be mentally sharp, to be physically able to handle those rigors, and also understanding the time between deployments, so to speak, or missions, because there has to be a decompression time for the body. Now, for regular folks like you and I, and not like some of the special ops guys and gals I've worked with, essentially, we're looking to try and have a nice, steady flow to our day. And now our morning time, our waking time can be different, especially if you're waking by the sun instead of an alarm clock. That is going to be very different, especially when we go through these time changes in the spring and fall. That can kind of throw you for a loop a little bit if you're watching the clock versus going to bed when it gets dark. And what I mean by regular bedtime is we will notice in the fall that a number of people, you know, when we turn the clocks back, they tend to get a little bit sleepy and drowsy, and then they feel off for a week or two. But making sure you have a regular bedtime, let's say 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Now, of course, some days the kid doesn't want to go to bed, or the kids don't want to go to bed, or you have a late meeting and you get home. Plus or minus around 15 to 40 minutes isn't going to make a huge difference. But more than that, you're just not consistent enough. Ideally, we'd like it to be within a 10 to 30 minute window that you are in bed, lights out. Now, that doesn't mean that if you are having trouble mentally of turning things down, that you shouldn't be doing stuff like reading a book or a Kindle, not your phone, not the computer, but something that is a repetitive task that doesn't have that stimulating light. Even the new screen times now where they turn down the blue light, it's still, we want a magazine or a piece of paper to read from, or the Kindle where it's a different type of light. It's a four light as opposed to backlight. And what you'll notice is that after a certain amount of time, and everybody's different. Some people it's a week, some people it's a month. After going to bed within that half hour window, you start to notice that your body naturally starts to wind down at that time to be able to shut down. And this is really important because it takes time to have those adaptations to that rhythm happen. But after that, you'll start to notice ebbs and flows in your days. You'll see much more regular peaks in energy and alertness and some troughs as well. And this is where taking the time to set your bedtime and stick to it for 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks. And of course, now we're in the holiday time of year, so that's going to mean it's a little bit harder. We have family gatherings, which tend to go on later. We're catching up with people we haven't seen. So yes, I do understand the Alanis Morissette style irony of releasing this episode now as we go after Thanksgiving to Christmas and New Year's, but having this regular bedtime is important to allow our hormonal status to be more regular and to peak and trough as we need it to prime you for improved adaptations. Now, why are we talking about sleep first? Is because that is where a lot of the repair for the nervous system that happens in REM sleep, in the REM cycle and deep sleep. We also have the tissue repair also happens then. We have HGH is released and a whole bunch of different hormones while you are sleeping. And that's why we were covering that first. Now, second is gonna be the nutrition. Now, the nutrition is a little bit more challenging in that when we say it takes time, it actually takes time for our deficiencies to show themselves. So it's a little bit of a backwards approach. This is where you have to be a little bit more proactive and thoughtful about how you're looking at your nutrition. Now, there are ebbs and flows as well to the year. This is where I've always been a big proponent of eating seasonally. That's how I was raised, eating organic well before, you know, Whole Foods was even a thing. I remember going to the East End Food Co-op in Pittsburgh with my mom when it was essentially, you know, a rundown building and you could see the frame of the walls. You know, that was just kind of the style that it was. And eating seasonally has always been something that's been ingrained in me. We would go to the farmer's markets. We would only get what was fresh. Even when we went to the grocery store, if I really wanted to have blueberries, so to speak, or for instance, rather, my mom would say, or to paraphrase, you know, we're not going to buy them now because they're not in season. They're being flown in from somewhere else and pumped with chemicals to ripen them. And that's not the way we really want to do things. So let's just get you frozen. It's also cheaper per unit. So I also was brought up to be frugal and, you know, not necessarily strict on a tight budget. At least that wasn't how I was taught. It wasn't like, oh, you can't have it. But to understand that there is a time and a place to have different fruits and vegetables. And we would also go blueberry picking in June, July, and we would bring home quarts or gallons of blueberries and then freeze them and have them for a long period of time. And these are the types of things that I was brought up. And I think that there is a lot that it takes time to develop these habits for nutrition of not just eating another protein bar, not just eating a protein shake. And I'm totally guilty of doing this myself. And my wife points it out, you know, just this past week, well, that's your fourth or fifth protein shake this week? Yes, but I feel like I need it right now. Okay, well, why don't we just get some more chicken or have another couple of eggs while you go through? And we settled on herring. So I actually got not pickled herring, but red herring in oil, which I know isn't the most healthy. And that has quelled my protein cravings significantly. That and bulgur has been fantastic in that I'm eating less, I'm getting the nutrients that I need, and I'm able to avoid using the protein shakes, which for about a year there, I was really, really dependent on because I was always on the go. So I also understand that it takes time for us to develop these habits to a point where you can comfortably plan for the ups and downs. Now, why are we talking about all this when I mentioned at the beginning the tissues, the mitochondria? Because these are the foundations, sleep and nutrition, and it takes time to get one into a sleep rhythm, a sleep habit rhythm, and two, to get into being able to think outside of the box instead of the easy answer. Now, there is certainly a time and a place where we want the easy answer, where it's better to take something easy and pretty healthy versus trying to find a perfect answer. But we want to try and set it up so that you're eating seasonally because those seasonal vegetables also tend, nature provides what we need for the different times of year. So think about right now, we're getting into root vegetables and winter greens. And these vegetables tend to be starchier carbohydrates, which allow us to have a little bit slower digestion. They don't necessarily spike our blood sugar as much. And allow us to mix a little bit more. Whereas during the summer, we have a lot of leafy greens and other things. So just kind of looking at it big picture. And I know that's not the most scientific, but it takes time to one, learn what's seasonal by you, and two, to be able to learn how to cook and bake and prepare them in a way that is appealing to you instead of going, oh, baked potatoes. Again, awesome. And there's some great cookbooks out there. The Feed Zone Cookbook is one of them, of course. The Portable Feed Zone Cookbook. There's a bunch of different recipe books you can get. The Engine 2 Diet has a lot of great vegan recipes. So instead of going to restaurants and thinking, oh, I'm going to go to a vegan restaurant, which is also expensive, you just learn different ways to prepare the different foods. And you can also look at YouTube or Google just recipes for, I don't know, yams. Whatever it may be, you can find different things. Try and trend towards the healthier things, because building these habits, well, it takes time. Now we're going to turn to the main focus for today, so to speak, and that is your strength training and the amount of time that it takes for you to be able to adapt. Now, this part is going to be a little bit more pointed, mostly because I've boiled it down to be as simple as possible. When it comes to your strength training and your on-bike training or your swim, bike, run, what we're looking for is a balance where your training is making it so it's a little bit difficult towards the end of your trainings in a different way. It doesn't mean all intensity all the time, but towards the end of 50 to 70% of your rides, runs or swims, you're saying, okay, that was a good workout. I feel like I could do maybe one or two more efforts, but I would be completely done. And we stop there. Next morning, you wake up and you go, oh, I feel that just a tiny bit in my legs or in my shoulders or wherever it may be. And within an hour or two of waking up, you feel nothing. What that means is your sleep quality, your nutrition quality, and the training intensity and duration are spot on. Now, if you wake up the next morning and you're not sore, that doesn't mean you've failed. Soreness is not a precursor for telling us, hey, you did a good job working out. It's just, this is the maximum of where we want to be for most of your trainings. You wake up the next morning, you have a tiny touch of soreness perhaps, and then nothing. After your endurance rides, you should wake up the next day and say, oh, you know what, I could do it again. Maybe you feel your legs don't want to turn over quite as fast at the beginning, the first 3 or 4 minutes for the second day in a row, and definitely for the third day in a row. But after 5 or 10 minutes of warming up, you're okay. We never want to get to a point where you're having to collapse, not during base period at least, where you're feeling just completely exhausted. You come back, you eat a whole pizza by yourself and lay with your feet up on the back of the sofa because you are just done. Not that I've done that a couple times or a couple dozen times. There's a time and a place for that. And usually in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in places like Pittsburgh in the Northeast, I like to tell folks, save those days for January and February when we get that one nice day where it's like 50 and sunny, and just go out all day. Call off work, ride your bike during the sun up to sundown, you know, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., go out and ride, turn the pedals over at a nice smooth cadence, make sure you're staying nice and relaxed on the bike, stay at endurance, and just ride as long as you can, keeping your cadence up there without going into tempo or threshold too much. And yeah, it's nice to have that, and we do need these days where we are pushing, called the development day. But most of our days when it comes to on bike are going to be stimulation. Once a week or once every 10 days, you'll need a development day to push you during base period, but they should be fewer and further in between. Now, when it comes to strength training, the adaptations that we need, the muscles usually take anywhere from 2 to 3 days to regenerate the tissue. So we're talking about the muscle tissue, whereas the connective tissue takes much longer. It's anywhere from 2+ weeks for the connective tissue to adapt because it's not as supplied with blood. That's why they're white. So it takes longer for those adaptations to occur. And the bone can take anywhere between 5 and 7 days, if not a little bit longer. Now, the thing that a lot of people don't realize when it comes to heavy squats or deadlifts is that when you are moving those types of weight, the heavier loads, the vertebral bodies actually are crushed and have microfractures in the trabeculae in the bone. And the trabeculae, it's like a scaffolding inside of the bone. That's what actually causes the vertebrae body, vertebral body, to have a body. And as you go through and you apply these heavier loads, the body needs the nutrients and the sleep to be able to repair them, but it takes time. And this is what a lot of well-meaning folks are missing when they're saying lift heavy stuff, and they go to the gym and hit the gym hard 2 days a week and leave themselves crushed for their swim, bike, run. is that if you go in twice a week and you do heavy squats and heavy deadlifts, you are essentially guaranteeing you're going to fail, because you're saying to your body, we're going to apply as much stress as possible to the bone, the ligaments, the connective tissue, and you're going to have to just figure it out. Oh, by the way, on top of that, we want to ride our bikes. Or those who are a little bit smarter are hitting the gym really, really hard and not really doing much on their bike. Well, that doesn't really serve you, because then the energy systems aren't getting the stress they need in your swim, bike, run. And that's kind of silly, because then you are essentially sacrificing your progress there and then falling backwards. And in fact, that's what a lot of cyclists and triathletes say is, I don't like strength training because then my fitness falls off. Well, you haven't managed to put those things into the proper juxtaposition, or excuse me, the proper balance. So it's a little bit juxtaposed where you're saying, oh, I need to really do strength, and then, oh, I only need to do endurance the rest of the year. Now, the folks that have figured this out are the powerlifters. And the bodybuilders, when they go into the gym, bodybuilders will usually do a 3-day-a-week split routine where they're doing two muscles or two areas of the body a day, and they do that once a week. So it gives them essentially a week between their exposures in order to grow. Now, when it comes to heavy squats or heavy deadlifts, a lot of bodybuilders actually avoid heavy deadlifts for the reason that it is a neuromuscular fryer. So your nervous system is fried after a deadlift, which means you can't put on the stress and you don't have the energy available to get the adaptations you want or need for tissue growth when you go into the rest of your session. And this is where our worlds of cycling and triathlon have a long way to catch up. A lot of well-meaning coaches are following bodybuilder approaches. We've seen also really big social media outlets for cyclists and triathletes have put out, granted, it was an expert in bodybuilding, the wrong expert to talk about strength training. This has happened 2 or 3 times this year here in 2022 where, yeah, you found a great expert for bodybuilding, but that's not what we need. We as cyclists don't need to hit the gym 2 or 3 days a week and just crush our bodies with an upper-lower split and, you know, have the tissues try and adapt while we're trying to ride 6 to 8 hours a week. What we need instead is an approach that's going to apply just enough training stress and leave enough energy over so that we're able to adapt. And this is where it really takes time. When we're talking about heavy squats or heavy deadlifts, 2 things. One, you need time in between exposures to each of these to allow the bones, the connective tissue as well, to adapt. So if you're doing heavy deadlifts once a week, number one, the heavy needs to be relative to where you can recover. And this is where a lot of cyclists in particular are getting injured this time of year with their lower back or their discs, because they are going into the gym and they're trying to pick up heavy stuff and put it down. And they have not had the tissue adaptations because it takes time. The powerlifters who can put a half a ton of weight on their back for a squat have had to work up to that over years of consistent and constant exposure to these loads incrementally. And they do a lot of time under tension stuff where they just put the weight and they stand there. They just hold the weight for 15 to 20 seconds and then they rack the bar. And that's their set for the days, because they're trying to get adaptations that aren't muscular but of the connective tissue and the bones to be able to handle the stresses. But it takes time in order to get there. Now, when it comes to your strength training routine, we want a similar feeling to what we talked about for the swim, bike, run. You wake up the next day, you say, oh, and this is really for only when you begin a new cycle or a new routine. The first 1 or 2 times, you wake up the next morning and go, oh, yeah, I guess I did a little bit of strength training yesterday. But after an hour or so, you don't feel anything at all. You get on your bike, you start pedaling, like, oh, yeah, my chest is a little bit tired from yesterday. But after about 15, 20 minutes, maybe you have to sit up and stretch the chest a little bit as you're pedaling. You feel fine. That is exactly what we are looking for. It should not take a lot of energy, and it should not take focus away from the thing that matters most. And for us as cyclists and triathletes, it is the swim, bike, and run. So these things take time. Now, if you're looking to learn more about this, about the adaptations that need to happen through strength training, one of the best books out there is written by Brian Carroll, who is a world record powerlifter, multi-world record powerlifter, including setting a number of world records after absolutely destroying one of his lumbar vertebral bodies. And he actually co-wrote the book with Dr. Stuart McGill, a mentor of mine, world-leading back, low back researcher and expert who's dedicated his life to learning what works with a lower back. And that book, Gift of Injury, is really powerful because it allows you to see two sides of the coin. One is the amount of time that it takes for adaptations to happen from something like that, as well as the psychological side of things. Brian does the first two or three pages of that book are, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, are absolutely powerful. I won't divulge what it is, but pick it up. I think Brian here around Thanksgiving 2022, I think he's having a sale on the scratch and dent copies, meaning the cover is a little dented or there's minor damage to the book, but there's nothing wrong with it, so to speak. So it's still bound, still stays together. So if you look at, I think it's Brian McCarroll 1306 or something like that on Instagram, I've shared in the HV training, strength training for cyclists and triathletes group, one of his posts about lower back health. So if you're in that group, you can see that post. If you're not in that group, it is free to join. Just answer three questions, and I'll be able to get you into that that group. Now, the three questions help me put together the content and really drive what's in that group to help those who are there. So as you're going through this, you know, these conversations that I've had with folks, the Stronger After 50, the professional mountain biker, and two or three other athletes that I'm working with have all been around, you know, they want to go to the gym more. They want to do more. They say, the training is really good. I feel really good when I do it. It feels just like what I need, but I have more time and I feel like I should be doing more. And really, that's where we want to be. And that's the hardest part. Chris mentioned that in the podcast last week, that, you know, you have this guilt or this feeling that you could or should be doing more. You look at others who are doing more, but when it comes to a truly artfully and knowingly crafted training regimen, that is the feeling that we want to have, that you are excited to feel good, to move good. You do the sessions and they go well. You see that you can execute them. They push you just the right amount. On each and every ride, run, or strength training, it's not leaving you tanked, and you still have some resiliency in the tank that you're able to go out and do more, and you have the feeling of extra energy. Because, and I spoke about this in the Stronger After 50 course, is that the energy model that a lot of us work off of, including myself for the first 10, 12 years of my coaching career, is that of, it's infinite. As long as we're eating more and more calories, we can burn more and more energy and we'll just replace it. And we just have to make sure we eat more. But in fact, it's a constrained energy model where there is a cap as to how much energy your body is actually able to take in. And then at a certain point, there's actually a taper off and at a certain point, it's a fall off of the body's ability to repair the damage that you're doing and adapt to the adaptations you are trying to get from the stresses you're placing on it. And that's the side of this where it takes time. We can't rush fitness. It just does not happen. I wish I could for some of my guys and gals. I wish I could snap my hand and boop, there you go. Here's your fitness. But it takes time. And I've had with the track athletes the last couple weeks, they leave and they say, oh, I felt my lower back just a little bit the last set of deadlift. And they tell me during the session, and we say, okay, stop there, don't do any more. But we're not pushing to where they're laid out on the ground. And then they wake up the next morning and say, oh, actually, well, I just felt a tiny bit, but after like an hour, it went away. Awesome. We're pushing you just within your limits. We're not taking you over those limits. We're leaving a margin of safety, so to speak, allowing you to not have to dig really deep. We're saving that for the season. And that's the last part for today's episode, is that in order to build your energy reserves, it takes time. And that's where your training plan and your strength training plan need to match what your eventual demands will be. For the mountain biker I'm working with, he's riding between 10 and 14 hours a week, including a 5-hour endurance ride one day. And, you know, he's saying, I feel good. I want to do more. Awesome. That is exactly what we want you to have right now. We want to build and dig a deeper, wider well. We don't want to take you and just slam you into the ground and then have essentially the sides kind of fall in where we've just thrown caution to the wind and we're just digging, digging, digging. You've got to take the time, make sure your sleep is on point, make sure your nutrition is on point, and manage your life stress. So there's a time and a place where you feel good, you move good, and you walk in the gym and you have one of those rip the bar off the floor and it feels amazing. But those days are going to be less than 10% of those that you walk into the gym or throw your leg over the bike or put on your running shoes or head into the pool. And on those days, we go ahead. If it's an RPE of 7 and you've done 6 repetitions, and it feels like an RPE of 5, go ahead until an RPE of 7, man. Let's keep doing it. However, on the flip side, on the days that you go in and your warm-up set feels like an RPE of 7, that means you also have to respect that both psychologically and physically, physiologically, that your body is telling you, hey, that's not what we want today. That's not what we can handle. We've got to lower it down and take it easy. So that's it for today's episode. If you found this to be useful, please give us a like and review on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. Lots of great stuff coming up. We've got a number of guests that are coming up. I'm very excited to share them with you. I'm not going to divulge right now, but I'm really excited. As we get into the next couple of weeks leading into Christmas, we'll have some more guest podcasts, as well as more scripted podcast solo here. As I mentioned, this one was kind of thoughts that have been floating around my head for the last week that I feel that you should hear. So I hope you found this useful. Until next time, remember, train smarter, not harder, because it is all about you.
That's it for this episode. Check out humanvortextraining.com for more great content and to keep learning.